Okay, I think it's almost 6:59. Oh yeah, it's good. It works. I mean the microphone. I see it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
So when this panel goes down,
yeah, I think
we'll center it.
Yeah. Will you tell me when you're not okay? Maybe you cannot move it around, I'm not sure. It's fine, I guess, if you don't. Oh, you can start.
Welcome to Bible Talk. I'm Pastor Joe Jackowitz of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. And it's a blessing to have you join us on this first broadcast of Bible Talk on our new time slot on First Love Radio as well as Facebook Live. We're coming to you from Northern California, San Ramon, California, in my home. You see my drapes in the background. And we have been ordered and mandated to be sheltered in place. So we last Lord's Day, we were not able to have our worship services as normal, but it was the first broadcast that we did for our service. I was able to deliver the sermon on Facebook and on First Love Radio. And so we come to you in the name of the Lord all around the world, wherever you're hearing this broadcast. Greetings to those of you who are on Facebook. I'm so blessed to be with you tonight and to share with you from God's Word. I have a lot on my heart. I have a lot to share with you during this Bible study of the air. So be patient with me and hang in there with me and pray for me, okay? Because we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on, isn't there? Everybody's life has changed, including yours and mine. And as Christians, as believers, we must rise to the occasion. We must be there as vessels of usefulness in the service of the Lord. Let's open our time in a word of prayer, shall we? Blessed Father in heaven, we thank you so much for life and for grace and for the way in which you provide for us in every way. You've comforted us, you've upheld us, you've given us shelter and food and clothing, and we pray that we would be content with these. We thank you for your goodness and faithfulness to us, for underneath are your everlasting arms. We pray, Lord, that on this program today, you would speak to hearts from your word, and that you would feed your sheep, and that you would encourage the seeking soul, the searcher of salvation, to press in with the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust him as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we will be coming to you every Wednesday at the same time, 7 p.m. Pacific time on the west coast of California. Of course, that translates into 10 p.m. on the east coast of the United States. And so whether you're listening to us very early in the morning in Africa or in the middle of the day elsewhere, we're just so happy to have you join with us. And this is the first program of Bible Talk. It's really a Bible study of the air that we have in this new time slot. If you go to firstloveradio.org on our radio website, you will see that Bible Talk is aired very early in the morning. I think it's 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. on Pacific time in the United States. But ultimately, we are transferring our time slot for Bible Talk to 7 p.m. every Wednesday, once a week. Every Wednesday, we will come to you live on First Love Radio as well as on Facebook. And we will be live streaming as well on our website at ChristBibleChurch.org. That's ChristBibleChurch.org. And you can click on the radio icon. You can also go to our church website and get the radio station and live stream this program at ChristBibleChurch.org. Remember, write these websites down. You may need to get a pencil and paper. Some of you have a pen and paper anyway, because you're getting ready to write down some scriptures that I'm going to give you during our Bible study. But be patient with me during these introductory comments, because I need to give you some more information. So this is the first broadcast of Bible Talk, and this program is designed as a Bible study. We will go for about 20 minutes on the program today, and then we will open things up for your questions. And you want to email your questions to us, and our partner and helper, Peter Sarkis, will shovel those questions to me. And send them to cbc@christbiblechurch.org. That's cbc@christbiblechurch.org. That's the email address to send your questions. Go ahead and start sending those questions now so that we can deal with them in about 15, 20 minutes. We will review them and get the answers from Scripture with the help of the Lord. Now, among the topics we will be talking about in forthcoming programs on Wednesday will be, how do we deal with the emotional and spiritual effects of the coronavirus? It is covering the whole world, and many, many people have died already. A couple of 100,000 folks already have the virus. I think 80 or 90,000 have recovered from it, which we praise God for. But the curve in terms of the growth of the virus in the United States, it has not reached the apex yet, and it is not flattened out. So we need to hunker down, and we need to trust the Lord, and we need to look to Him for grace, for healing, for good health, for provision, for faith, for peace, right? For peace during this difficult time. I am 64 years old, and I have never seen, ever in my entire life, a trial that has hit the earth and a disaster that has changed so many routines and so many people in this world. The situation has changed. And from what I understand, it's going to continue the problem and the coronavirus and the fallout from it for some weeks and months. Some estimates I saw over the last couple of days, and I've been doing a lot of research about the viruses, disasters, the coronavirus. I've been keeping my finger on the pulse of the developments and the growth of the virus. Some estimates say, pardon me, that this won't end, or we won't get a handle on it for a couple of years. But I'm trusting the Lord for better things, for the virus to end sooner, as I trust you are as well. So we'll be talking about with the emotional and spiritual issues. I'll be giving you a lot of scripture. If you're a Christian, you want to write these scripture references down. You want to go over them, because I believe that you and I as believers will have many, many unique opportunities to share words of comfort and consolation with other believers. We will have opportunities to share the gospel with those who are not Christians. We'll also be talking about how to handle anxiety and fear and despair. There are many people who are falling into despair already. They are helpless and hopeless. They are turning left and right, and they're not finding answers. So we as Christians need to be there to give them the message of salvation, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we need to have our knowledge bank of these particular topics filled up to the maximum. We're going to be talking about how to deal with helplessness and worry and depression, and we'll also be talking about this growing sense of insecurity and uncertainty on the parts of many people around the world. How do we answer their questions? How do we give them hope? Tune in. God willing, next week we'll be talking a lot about some of these topics, and in the weeks to come, we will touch upon some of them tonight. Also, we'll be looking at what are the messages God has for us when disasters come, when they strike. What does the Bible say about these disasters? How should we respond to them? And what should we think about God concerning these disasters? Why do disasters happen? What does the Bible say about plagues and these things that are causing us great concern? So these are the topics we will deal with in the coming weeks. The Bible says a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. We need to be prudent, we need to be wise, and we need to see evil coming and hide ourselves, as it were. Prepare for greater evil that we see on the horizon. Are you doing that? Are you preparing? Or are you caught flat-footed, like many people, who totally were shocked and unprepared by this? The Bible does say, now I know there's much disagreement about eschatology or prophecy or what is called end times and last days theology. Prophecies that the Bible gives concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. As I said in my message last Sunday, I don't want to get in a theological controversy or squabble over the various schools of thought regarding the second coming of Christ. Will he come after the 1,000-year tribulation period? What about the premillennial return of Christ or the postmillennial return? Amillennialism, preterism, and all of these different schools of thought. I don't want to debate the nuances and the particulars of those prophetic schools, but I do believe that most of these prophetic schools believe that there will be certain signs that will precede the second coming of Jesus Christ. And whether or not what we're seeing on the earth in terms of the coronavirus and the pandemic connected with it is one of those signs, I'm not sure. But I think if you take all of the signs together and you analyze over the last 50 years or 100 years, that these signs of the times, and see that there's been an increase in both the intensity and in the frequency of these signs, you begin to think, okay, is this the beginning of sorrows? Is this the beginning of the end? We could be here for another 100 years, 200 years, but I definitely don't want to make a prophecy the theme of this study. But I do want to make reference to how we as Christians can respond to a world that will be questioning us, that will be asking us for answers from the Bible on how to deal with the spiritual and emotional pain and sorrow and depression and stress that they are experiencing. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the world right now is panicking and full of anxiety. So we as Christians need to be there with answers. That's our duty. That's our responsibility as believers, okay? One of the verses I quoted in the flyer that you sent, and if you would like to be added to our email list to receive these flyers we send before the next study with the topics and pertinent information, go ahead and email us at cbc@christbiblechurch.org. That's cbc@christbiblechurch.org. Let me give you a couple of announcements before we go into our study. First of all, this Friday, March 20th, I will be interviewed on Chris Arnzen's program called Iron Sharpens Iron on First Love Radio. So go to firstloveradio.com or firstloveradio.org, excuse me, firstloveradio.org at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. That's 4 p.m. East Coast time. And it'll be a 2-hour interview. The theme will be the coronavirus and how should we as Christians respond. I will go into greater detail. And if you listen to that program and invite others to it, you will get a heads up on future programs that we're going to be dealing with. So Iron Sharpens Iron. It has its own website, or you can go to firstloveradio.org, 1 o'clock this Friday, Pacific time, March 20th, 4 o'clock Eastern time. Also, this Sunday, the 22nd, I believe, right? The 22nd, this Sunday, I will be preaching a sermon on First Love Radio at 1 o'clock Pacific time in place of our Sunday services. We will go live stream on First Love Radio as well as on Facebook. The same address you're at right now, which is facebook.com/Christ Bible Church. That's facebook.com/Christ Bible Church. Okay, with that in mind, let's touch upon our Bible study, and I will interrupt the study to deal with some of these questions that are coming. And we already have one question, but we will wait for a few minutes. Let's get into our study. So, things are getting worse. Many people are panicking, like I said. Hospitals are already in many places being pushed to the breaking point. I heard today by the Secretary of the Treasury that he's predicting 20% jobs will be lost. I don't know if that's true, and again, I don't want to be an alarmist, but we have to be a realist, don't we? A realist. We have to deal with the things that are taking place, and we need to respond faithfully according to the principles of God's Word. We have General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler have closed all of their U.S. factories. The stock market dropped another couple of thousand points almost today. Wow, there are some wide swings in the stock market. One day it's up 1,000, the next day it's down 2,000, the next day it's back up 2,000. Have you ever seen such wild swings in the market before? This is a message to people saying, are we going to trust in the government? Are we going to put our trust in the stock market? We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. This is what people are doing today. Alcohol sales, I heard, are going through the roof. Here in Northern California, seven counties, including the county that I live in, Contra Costa County, have an order to shelter in place. And so every aspect of our normal routine and our normal life has changed. I haven't basically gone out of the house for 4 days. We're basically in lockdown. We're prisoners in our own home. I thank God for my son who went out and did some shopping for us, because I am in the highest risk category, having cancer. I'm in remission, thank God, but I have underlying health conditions, so I really can't go out of the house. But many people are sheltering in place here in Northern California, at least in the San Francisco Bay Area, where there's 7 million people among these counties, these seven counties, represented by these counties, who are mandated to stay in their home. Now, if that isn't a major change in our lifestyles, I don't know what is. So, there are a lot of people who are bringing their movies and are trying to derive comfort and from entertainment and from alcohol and substances, drugs. People are looking for some kind of relief from the stress and worry and uncertainty. There's a big question mark hanging over the world right now, isn't there? And so people are looking for answers. And have you noticed the selfishness of human nature manifesting itself in a powerful way, where we have these fights breaking out in supermarkets, and the savagery and the selfishness that is exhibited towards people, pandemonium breaking out, people panicking, there's no more toilet paper left in many stores, essential goods are running out very quickly. It's apocalyptic in nature. And what's taking place today? Many, many people are unsettled. And so many are questioning things that they never questioned before. For 20, 30, 15 years, Many workers have derived comfort on a daily basis by thinking about the accumulation of their 401ks and their retirement programs, and it gave them comfort to think that one day soon they'll be able to retire from their jobs and they have their 401k. My friends, the stock market lost all the value that was built up, maybe 20%, 25% of its value just since President Trump took office 3 years ago. So that means the value of many people's investments, their retirement accounts, their stocks are reduced by 25%, generally speaking. Now, I'm not a stockbroker. I know something about finances. And so people are trusting in their retirement plans, in their money. So many have been trusting in the government. Oh, they say the government will take care of it. They'll find a way out of it. They're looking to the government for assistance. I heard today that the president's going to send in a couple of payments over the next couple of months, $1,000 or $2,000 to everybody, to every taxpayer or so. $1.2 trillion in a bailout, helping people and helping companies, bailing them out. I thank God for our government. Don't get me wrong. God has used our government and the assistance programs and the safety nets that we have in the government to help millions and millions of people. Social Security. I'm on Social Security. I receive Social Security. And it's a blessing. It is. But ultimately, nothing is guaranteed in this life, my friends. Nothing is guaranteed. It can be removed in a heartbeat within 2 weeks. All of these sources of comfort and safety financially and with the government, things that we've took for granted for decades and generations, going back 100 years or so, all of these governmental safety nets are suddenly in doubt and in question. So we have a $1.2 trillion bailout. What's going to happen if next year we have another virus? We recover from this one, and then another one comes up, another pandemic that is three times as strong as this one. But and the government already spent $1.2 trillion and virtually bankrupted itself, or put us even further in the hole financially because of this bailout. What is my point? My point is not to alarm you, but to be a realist, that the Bible says a wise man sees evil coming and prepares for it. And so we can't trust in the government, we ultimately in our funds, in the safety nets. What happens when unemployment insurance runs out and the food stamp runs out and the food stamps run out and the government assistance? And so my point is, in the first place, when we look at this, what is going on with the coronavirus, we see that the ways and purposes of God are generally hidden. Who could have predicted that this pandemic would have happened? God doesn't send us a message in our minds. He gives us general warnings in the Bible to be ready for the second coming of Christ or to be ready to die. I don't know if Christ is going to come tomorrow or 100 years from now, but I know the warnings from the Bible is that we are to be ready to die at any time and meet our Maker. People are asking, why is the coronavirus pandemic happening? We've had so much economic growth and prosperity in the last 3 years. How can it all disappear in a couple of weeks? What's going on? But don't people really want to know the reason why disasters and traumatic events happen anyway? Everybody always wants to know why. But that won't particularly comfort people if we get the answer for it. Even if we know the reason behind everything and why bad things happen. Most people won't trust God anyway. Remember some years ago when we had a disaster, I think it was the Bay Area earthquake, And several years ago, there was another epic event that shocked the world, including the Y2K at the turn of the century, when people were being alarmed by many organizations, religious organizations, that were saying back then that Christ was going to come in the year 2000. And on January 1st, the year 2000, people were predicting that Christ would come, and he did not come. But many people leading up to that date at the turn of the century went back to church, and the churches were full. And after nothing happened, a few months later, everybody left the church. Many, many people left the church. And so people are asking questions. But we need to remember who's in charge. Who's in charge of this world? Who's in control? Are these random events? No. God knows what he's doing. All of these things are initiated, these disasters, by God. We read in Scripture in Isaiah 45 verse 9, "Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making?" In Daniel 4:35 we read, "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done?" God, behind the scenes, when most people don't realize it, is working his will both in the realm of politics, in the civic arena, in the churches, and in the world, both in the macro and in the micro areas. God is performing his will and his purpose. He is in charge. And so as Christians, as those who study the Bible and know the Bible, we believe that God is sovereign. He's the king. He's the Lord of the universe. He reigns supreme over all events. Nothing happens haphazardly. Nothing takes God by surprise, or should take you and I by surprise, because the Bible says he's in control. He's sovereign. Secondly, great things with us are little things with God. What do I mean by that? Well, we call the nations great, and we speak of the mighty empires and the mighty civilizations that have come and gone on the earth. But in the sight of God, the nations are like nothing. We read in Isaiah 40 and verse 15, "Behold, the nations are a drop in the bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing." In the same chapter, Isaiah 40, down at verse 21 through 26, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall they shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, God says, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing." Yes, things that happen as pandemics and great shocking disasters in the world are great to us, but they're very little to God. Even all of the nations altogether are a drop in the bucket. God is eternal. God is infinite. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He fills all things. He is larger and greater than His own creation. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. He is sovereign. And nothing is done by accident. There is no plan B with God, my friend. Great things to us are little things to God. Thirdly, the most terrible things in nature, including a pandemic, have no terror for the child of God. Have no terror in the life of the child of God. Because if you're a believer, if you're a child of God, you're saved. Your sins are forgiven. Your salvation is secure. The Lord Jesus Christ paid your sin debt on the cross. God punished His Son for your sins so that you don't have to be punished for them. He took our place on the cross. He is our substitute in bearing God's anger and wrath for our sins in His own body on the cross. And so, if you're a child of God, you're saved, and no one can take your salvation away. Your sins and the forgiveness of them cannot be reversed. They're irreversible. That's good news. Can you say, praise the Lord? And yet, even when bad things happen, like a pandemic, like sheltering in place, where we literally become prisoners in our own home. And that's a good thing. I'm not downplaying it. God is using this mandate to shelter in place here in Northern California, in the Bay Area, for our good, to prevent many, many people from contracting the coronavirus. But even if bad things happen, if you're a Christian and you get the virus, remember, even bad things work for good in the life of a child of God. As we read in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Didn't the psalmist say, it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes? And so bad things happen to us, yes, but the Bible says, even when we are chastised, whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every child He receives. So let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind. But God promises, as I suggested, to protect His people. No harm will come to us unless God has ordered it for our good. There's a positive good purpose in anything bad that happens to us. And we can redefine that word bad as actually good for us, because it's a means of either teaching, it's a lesson for us to learn, it's a teaching moment. Nothing that happens to us for good or bad in a physical sense turns out but is used for an evil purpose. God is good, and there's no sin in God. And so God promises to protect us. He says in Psalm 46, verses 1 through 5, Psalm 46, 1 through 5, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Doesn't the scripture say that the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them? In Psalm 34:7, what does Jesus say in that wonderful passage in John 10? That text in the Gospel of John that beautifully depicts our Lord as the great shepherd. In verse 27 it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Are you worried about the coronavirus? Even if you get it. And even if you die, God forbid, God says, as a child of God, you will never perish. You will go instantly into the presence of God. Hallelujah. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he says, and they shall never perish. We shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I want to pause here and encourage you to send us your emails with questions or comments. We have, where, on here?
On your text.
Okay. We have a couple here. I'm going to pause here and deal with the first one from a lady named Sherry. Okay, Sherry, your question is, what is our obligation to follow the government's recommendation at this time? Our obligation is to obey the law, to follow our government's recommendation to shelter in place, at least for Northern California. Now, most other areas throughout the country do not have a shelter in place mandate, such as New York City. They're talking about sheltering in place there, but it hasn't happened yet. I've heard a rumor in the last couple of days that California is thinking about declaring martial law. Whatever the case, if the government rules and whatever their law is, whatever their mandate is that comes down to us, if it doesn't violate the scriptures, if it doesn't contradict the word of God, then we have to obey it. The Bible says obey every ordinance of man. God uses these laws for our good, to protect us from harm, to keep us healthy, to keep us from evil. Okay, let's go to the next one. My comment is, what's interesting about this virus, it has put fear into the hearts of the entire world. I'm amazed that God has used 10 similar plagues like this virus on Pharaoh and the Egyptians before they heeded Moses' plea to let my people go. I would think one virus like this coronavirus should have been enough to heed God's word. Your thoughts? This comes from Brother Mark, my good friend from Pennsylvania. Absolutely. No matter how much you shake up people's lives, Brother Mark, no matter how much you shake up their world, no matter how much you take away their possessions, you remove their livelihood, you force them to shelter in place, to sit down in a chair or sit down in their houses, to think about these disasters and what message God is sending to them through this, to wake up. Sin is such in the heart of man. Selfishness, pride, self-centeredness, egotism, self-worship, idolatry is such that you can boil them in water and they won't repent unless God gives them grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't it say in the book of Revelation, I believe through metaphor, that these creatures will torment men's bodies for 30 days or 6 months, something like that, and with boils, painful boils, where their tongues will come out of their mouths and they will curse God. They will still curse God. So this shows you that man and woman, boys and girls, human beings made in the image of God, but sinners by birth, sinners by nature, need God's convicting grace to repent of sin. To repent of sin. You see, in the fourth place, all things in nature, the events of the world, even disasters, are calculated to awaken the ungodly person, the unsaved person. Consider this if you are not a Christian. That you have rebelled against God. I say this in love. I say this in love. You may be tuning in and you may be listening to what God is saying through this coronavirus and this pandemic. And I don't mean to dispel your pain if you're suffering from the virus or you're emotionally distraught. You want to know what to do. You're full of anxiety and fear and stress. Maybe you lost your job and maybe you're in pain one way or another, and God has brought you through your whole life to this point. You've never seen such a disaster in your whole life like me. I've never seen such a disaster on this scale. And you're finally asking yourself the question, what must I do to be saved? You're listening to God. Oh, my friend, there's hope. There's good news. But before the good news, there's bad news. And the bad news is that God is angry and jealous and furious with every unsaved person. What will you do in that great day of wrath, that day of God's judgment, if you die without having your sins cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ? When God will hold you accountable for every single one of your sins, sins of word, sins of thought, and sins of deed, of action. Some of you believe in a God that has no anger. He is only a God of love. You believe that God has no hatred towards sin or for the wicked. Such a God is not the God of the Bible, my friend. You may listen to false teachers and false preachers who say peace, peace, but there is no peace except the peace that the Bible gives and that the Bible teaches through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we read in the Bible that God is a just judge and God is angry with the wicked every day. He's a God who punishes iniquity, punishes the ungodly. So let me ask you a question. If you died right now, would you be able to stand before God and be forgiven of your sins? If you don't know for sure, then it's likely you're not saved. If you've never been born again, born of the Spirit of God, then it's highly likely you're not a Christian. Can you endure then the fierceness of God's anger and wrath? When His fury is poured out like a fire, will you be able to withstand His judgment at the bar of God's court and then to be cast into a place called hell and the lake of fire to be separated from God forever and punished forever? Yet there is hope. There is hope if you will repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what does it mean, repent? A lot of people make fun of that word. Repent, repent. A lot of entertainers like to joke about it, but listen, my friend, the Lord Jesus said, except you repent, you will all perish. This is from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the one who created us, the one who came down into this world to save sinners, the one who gives you hope right now that you can be saved. Look, as long as you're still alive and you have breath in your body and you can think and pray, there's hope. There's hope, but you must repent. You say, what does it mean to repent? It means to have a changed heart and mind about your sin. All your life, you enjoyed the pleasures of sin. But suddenly now, your conscience is awakened to the evil of sin and how it has not helped you, how the pleasures of sin has hurt you and has dragged you down and has led you down a primrose path with false hopes. It's sin has led you to a dead-end road. Sin has lied to you. The devil has lied to you and deceived you that you could prosper and sin and rebel against God and enjoy the pleasures of this life and then die and go to heaven too. You can't have it both ways. You must give your life to Christ. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. We read in Luke 13 that there were present at that season some who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 people on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Listen, listen to me, my friend. Some people experience disasters. They die young. They suffer great affliction in their body. They get into accidents. They lose everything. And they have diseases. They get cancer. But other people, they seem to have it made. They live their lives and they never seem to have conflict. They don't have health problems. They are able to hoard their money and they have all of these possessions. They accumulate and it seems like they've got it made. But Jesus says here, don't measure your life by other people. Don't measure whether or not God is pleased with you and not pleased with other people because you got it made and you have money and you're doing well and you're healthy and these poor people over here, they've suffered so much and God must be mad at them. No, my friend. The Bible says we're all sinners and we all have to repent. Some people, God will punish them in this life somewhat and then they'll die if they don't become believers and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, and other people will not suffer that much, but they will still have to answer for their sin on Judgment Day. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus says that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, even if you come down with the coronavirus and you die, if you have put your trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've given your life to Him, you've given your heart to Him, you have repented of your sin, you've condemned your sin, you've confessed your sin, the Bible promises if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, which I invite you to do, my unsaved friend, right now, you will be saved. Jesus promises, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ. You will receive the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He will come into your heart. He will cleanse you. He will cleanse your conscience from all sin and give you peace, and He will abide in you forever. Now let me say a word to the Christian. To the Christian. Are you struggling, my Christian friend? You're born again. You're a child of God. You've been so maybe for a short time or 10, 20 years or all of your life, for most of your life. You're in your 50s or 60s or 70s and you've been in the faith for a long time, but you're struggling right now. You've wandered from fellowship with God. Maybe you're backslidden. Oh, my friend, look to Christ. The Lord says in Revelation, "I stand at the door and knock, the door of your heart. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him." This is a unique time for believers to be alive. To be alive during a disaster when everyone is listening except maybe atheists and agnostics and those who are so hardened in their hearts that they won't even listen during a pandemic. Oh, my friends, but most people, 90%+ of people in the world are listening who would not ordinarily receive the gospel. You need to be a believer who is faithful to God and sharing the gospel with everybody and anybody you can. Go back to the Lord and ask Him for grace. Ask Him for grace to restore you. We need to seize the moment. This is a unique moment for believers. And we need to stand in the gap and fill in the gap so that unsaved people who are looking for the message of hope and salvation, for these poor people, these dear people, that we can give them that hope. Oh, are you going to stand in the gap? We read in Ezekiel, God said, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my mouth. I have recompensed their deeds on their own deeds, says the Lord God. This may indeed be a worldwide chastisement and punishment from God. Look at what the world is doing as they are embroiled and immersed in the worst kind of perversions and sins that are drowning men in perdition. And we wonder why we have a pandemic? How many tens of millions of babies that have been aborted over the last 50 years since Roe v. Wade has been enacted? Look at what the entertainment world is devising in their efforts to make sin more palatable, more alluring, and more seductive to people. People are drowning in sin. They're slaves of sin. It's like they have straitjackets on. This is the time to flee from the wrath to come. If you're a Christian, you need to cling to the Lord and be those who fill in the gap. We read in Isaiah 59 that God saw there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet, and he didn't have one convert. He wept because of the sins of Israel. But God promises, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will forgive their sin and I will restore the land. Oh, let us call for a national revival among our fellow church members. What does God have to do? So many churches have closed their doors and are not holding their services because of the pandemic. Will things have to get worse? Here I am in my house, and I'll be preaching for the next 3 weeks. We won't be able to meet for the next 3 weeks because the government here in the Bay Area has mandated that we have to shelter in place until April 7th. That means 3 more Sundays we will have to stay away from our gathering, our church meeting, our worship service. That's never happened before in the history of Christ the Bible Church. We've never missed a worship service in 30 plus years, over 30 years. But God has a way of changing things and mixing things up, doesn't he? I'll tell you, in the last several days, and you can ask Peter Sarkis this, who handles our website and much of our technology, our social media. We have never seen numbers of responses from Facebook, from YouTube, and from social media like we have in the last several days. It's more than triple. People want answers, and they don't want fluff and glitter. They don't want baloney. They want answers from the Bible. They want to hear the truth. Will you be an intercessor? Will you not have the fear of man be the final decider whether or not you're going to share the gospel with people? God has trained you. Look how many sermons you have heard through many years of being a Christian. Look how much Bible knowledge God has taught you and has laid a foundation of truth and of the gospel in your life. Now is the time to use it. To use it. Share it with your family members. Share the gospel. Share the word. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Judgment must begin at the house of God. But there's good news. Look at how God is so faithful to restore us and to bring us back into the sheepfold when we wander. Look at His faithfulness to local churches when His people gather in prayer and we repent and we pray that the Holy Spirit would be poured out afresh upon us and He would rekindle the love of God in us. He says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. He commands us to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ. And so as we close out in the next 5 minutes this broadcast, I plead with you, if you're not a believer, what are you waiting for? I invite you to put your trust in Jesus Christ now, today. He's listening. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus says in the book of Luke chapter 9, he says that, let me get there real quick. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses himself or is destroyed? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Trust in the Lord Jesus. He's listening. Call upon him. He's listening. Believe in your heart that he will save you. Believe that he will save you. As we read in the book of Romans in chapter 10. This is the Bible. This is not my word, my friend. This is Holy Scripture. This is God's word. Do you believe the Bible is God's word? Do you believe that? I hope you do. And the Lord says to you that if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not possibly, but shall be saved. And so trust in the Lord today. If you will email us, we will send you a Bible and we will send you books free of charge. Keep your money. Let us know. Let us know what questions you have, and by God's grace, we'll answer them from the Scripture. Now, if you are a believer or not, we will continue to have these broadcasts, Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, every Wednesday at 7 o'clock Pacific Time, 10 o'clock East Coast Time in the United States. And if please share this broadcast and invite other people. That's how you can help us. We don't ask you for money. We just ask you to join with us as co-laborers and ambassadors and inviting people. We will be sharing the gospel. I will give gospel applications through these studies, but we will primarily be talking with believers. Now, remember, this Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. East Coast Time, I will be interviewed by Chris Arnzen on his radio show, Iron Sharpens Iron. It can be found on our live streaming radio station, firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. And then this Sunday, I will be delivering my sermon on firstloveradio.org, as well as Friday. I'm not sure if we'll be on Facebook on Friday, but we will be on Facebook again on Sunday at 1 o'clock Pacific Time, facebook.com/Christ Bible Church. You can find this information on our website. Please check our website on these sources of live streaming, Facebook, and radio so that you can tune in. Our website address is christbiblechurch.org, christbiblechurch.org. Thank you for the questions. And please send those questions in again. Send more questions in next time. We had two questions tonight. And God willing, we'll be able to take more next week. And so I will close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved your people from their sins, and who invites even tonight those who are lost to be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, would you not hear their prayer? Would you not save their never dying souls? We will all live forever in one of two places. Would you not save them, Lord, and bring them into your kingdom? As your people, give us zeal to reach out with the gospel to every unsaved person, family member, co-worker. Help us, O God, by supplying courage and grace and joy and boldness. Help us as your people to pray for the lost and to be zealous for your kingdom. Fill us with love. Fill us with love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all, and press on, and don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God bless you.